2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome into another edition of the Jazz Notes podcast. We appreciate you downloading, subscribing. Make sure you give us a rating. We love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the podcast, and let us know how we could do a little bit better in the future. Well, last week I teased that I had an interview with Brian Russell, which I did have an interview with Brian Russell, because he was out touring with the Jazz and the Junior Jazz program, going to different communities inside and outside of the state, you know, preaching basketball and what it's like to be a professional basketball player and things like that. But a couple of things about this interview. I just wanted to let you know that I made a couple of mistakes in interviewing him. I said that he was the 35th pick of the draft, and he corrected me and told me he was the 45th pick of the draft. So you'll hear that in the conversation. I also kind of followed up and I said, what was it like that season after you made your last championship season? And I referred to it as being the 99-2000 season. Well, I'm kind of an idiot. It was actually the 98-99 season, the season that was a lockout shortened season. So a little bit of a correction there. So, and then the last thing I wanted to say was that due to technical difficulties on my part, no one else's part, but due to some technical difficulties, this interview was supposed to go out last week when he was actually out and about with Junior Jazz. But as I said, because of some things that went on, it didn't go out. So I apologize about that, but I wanted to get this interview out. It was kind of fun interviewing Brian. I was a younger guy watching the Jazz going to their championship teams in the late 90s. So it was fun interviewing Brian. And, well, the first thing I wanted to ask him after making a few stops was, why is it that he decided to help the Jazz and the Junior Jazz program out by going on this week-long road trip and doing these basketball clinics? Why did he decide to do that?
Well, I'm a Jazz at heart. So whenever they call up on me and ask me to do this, it is my pleasure to do it. I have a good time doing it.
What's the reception been like? I mean, do kids... I'm not trying to play on your age, because you and I are actually very similar in age. You're just a tad bit older than me. Do the kids actually know who you are? Because you haven't played for the Jazz since 2002.
Yeah, we have great, great, great conversation about what I did. So that makes it even better, because they do know. Most do know. If not, I'll give them trivia questions to enlighten them a little bit.
What kind of trivia questions do you give them?
How many years I played with the Jazz, how many numbers, you know, how many All-Stars I played with, how many Hall of Famers I played with, you know, that kind of good stuff.
How have they done so far? Are they acing the quizzes, or are they having a hard time with them?
Well, let's just say they're taking all my money.
So they're reading up on you. You know, you left to play for the Washington Wizards in 2002. You played 9 seasons for the Utah Jazz leading up to that. Was that bittersweet, especially after playing so many seasons for the Jazz and going to 2 championships with them?
I had a ball. Me leaving was just, you know, as things change, you got to make new changes. So that's all that happened. It wasn't no bad blood why I left, no anything. It was just, I had a wonderful 9 years.
You had a wonderful 9 years here. You went to two titles. One of those titles, I'm not going to mention the Michael Jordan 1998 game, but I'm just wondering, is that the game that most people bring up, fans or whatever, maybe other players? Is that the game they most bring up with you because he pushed off on you in that game six of the 98 finals?
No, that'd probably be the second or the third thing. Most people, when they walk up to me, they tell me I had a H-E-L-L of a career. And then, oh, by the way, Michael Jordan pushed off. So I get a warm welcome from everybody, man. They treat me good. They really respect that I had really a great career. You know, Michael Jordan was just Michael Jordan.
That next year after the NBA Finals, the 99-2000 season, it was the lockout shortened season. A lot of people, when they probably talk to you, they do focus on those 2 years that you went to the finals. But that following year, did you feel like you guys should have been, because you came so close to winning those finals, do you feel like you were or you should have been the favored team? And kind of what happened, because you ended up going out in the second round of the playoffs in the 99-2000 season?
Well, the team had broke up by then. The team was broke up. It wasn't the same team that went to the finals in 96, 97, 97, 98. So, I mean, it happens. We had a great run at it. I wish we would have been the favorites going into the lockout year, but it didn't work that way.
Do you have any former players that ever tease you or give you a hard time about not winning in the NBA Finals? You went three times, twice with the Jazz, once with the Lakers. I know a lot of guys who are stars, they talk about how many rings they have. Does anyone ever needle you about not winning a championship when you had three shots at it?
Nah, I never got that. And if somebody was to tell me that, I'll say this to them. It's two teams that get to go. I was one of the top two teams. Where was your team if you wasn't in the finals when I was there? So I can hope I can shut them up with that one. Like, it's 30-something teams. I'm one of the top two that went into the finals three times. I just ran across some better teams. That's all that was.
Earlier you talked about how you moved on. There were no hard feelings with when you left the Jazz. You ended up playing for the Wizards, Lakers, and also the Nuggets after that. What differences did you see when you moved on from the Jazz to some of the other teams you played for before you retired?
I really didn't pay attention to that. I just moved forward and just did what I thought that could make me keep on playing, and that was just beat Brian Russell. That's all.
You were drafted 35th overall, one of the rare second-rounders who actually started games in his first season, and it was with the Utah Jazz. You had a long NBA career. Why do you think you succeeded while others fail, especially, you know, late first-rounders or even second-rounders?
Well, I can't really comment on how others fail because that's on them. I know as being the 45th pick of the draft, I came in to work and to work to get better every year. So whatever I couldn't do the year before, I made sure I did that the following year. So I've always worked on my craft.
What was it that first year that gave you the edge that made the Jazz say, yes, we're going to keep him around, and yes, we're even going to start him in a few games? What was it that you worked on or that they saw in you so that you were so successful that first season?
Well, I mean, when I came into the NBA, I was a defensive player, so I came out and played defense. I worked on my offense, so my offense got better and my defense got even better. So they might have liked the defensive side that I play. So that's probably what gave me the edge, because back then they played defense. Right now they don't.
You also played in a different era, Brian. Is that what you're trying to impart, though, to the kids, that no matter the obstacles, you know, you can reach your goals just because – you know, as you said, you were drafted 45th overall, and you had a long, successful NBA career. Is that some of the thing? One of the things you're trying to impart
when I go in there speaking to the kids and playing around with the kids, I just tell them to have fun, enjoy it. But if you're serious about doing this, there's a lot of stuff you have to give up to become a successful basketball player. I don't know what that is in you. You just have to figure that out. But I know I gave up everything to become a basketball player. Because everything else was going to come when I got to the NBA, and everything did come.
I remember when you played, you smiled a lot while you were playing. You just talked about telling the kids, hey, make sure that you enjoy this. After making all those sacrifices, did you enjoy it too? Or was it just, it felt like a grind at times?
No, I enjoy it. I still smile to this day because life is happy. I couldn't frown upon anything. And I definitely enjoy the game of basketball, and I smile playing it. I don't think most people could have done that.
Talk about this team that is going to come up this year. They've made some trades. They traded for Mike Conley. They signed Bojan Bogdanović. They've added some new guys to this Jazz roster. How excited are you for this team coming up this next season?
Well, I'm super excited. They look good on paper, but I can't wait to see about 10 games or so. I'm going to watch all the marquee games, and then I'm going to wait for them to get in the playoffs and cause havoc.
You going to get some tickets to – I know you might get invited back up here to Salt Lake, but are you going to try and maybe see him? I as far as I know, I still think you're living in Southern California. Are you going to try and see him when they're in Southern California too?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. Once a Jazz, always a Jazz.
The Jazz, their marquee players, Rudy Gobert, and they also have Donovan Mitchell. Do those guys have the it factor to take this team to the finals? Because in reality, we can talk about the new guys that are signing with the Jazz, but it seems like they still need to rely on them a whole lot to actually make it back to the finals where you guys reach the pinnacle of NBA stardom.
Well, those two that you just named, Rudy and Donovan, they're doing their part. It's just they got to get a great supporting cast, which I think Coach has done now. I think Coach has put a nice piece around them, you know, to compete. And I think they really have a chance. I wouldn't put them down. I'll give them a chance to get to the finals. So I hope they do because I'll be at every game.
You mentioned how you made yourself a defensive specialist when you came into the NBA. Have you ever gone up to any of the current Jazz players and say, let me show you how to play defense?
No, because the NBA doesn't play defense, so I couldn't tell him to play defense. You got Rudy, though. Rudy's one of the top, if not one of the best defenders as a big man in the league. So you have that already.
Brian, thanks a lot for joining us. Good luck on the rest of the road trip with the kids. I wish you luck, and hopefully we'll see you this next season here in Salt Lake when the games start up again.
Yes, you will, and thanks for having me on your show.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Jazz Notes podcast. Of course, we'll have more coming up later. Of course, Donovan Mitchell, part of Team USA. It looks like he's going to be on the team. It looks like he could possibly even be a starter on Team USA. So make sure you stay tuned for our coverage of that and for plenty more as we get ready for the 99. Oh, my goodness. I think I'm a couple of decades off the 2019-2020 season. That's all coming up in future Jazz Notes podcast. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.